Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hello and welcome to Wake and Jake with myself and BBD as we get through the World Series. We're tied up at ones. There was a fun, wonky NFL weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit. Coming off an episode with Trevor Plouffe where he revealed everything. Hope you guys had a good weekend. We got the first two games of the World Series. A World Series, when we last talked to you, the Friday release. Sorry about that. Busy times. Maybe I'm not sorry about it.
People liked it.
People are talking. We started with a historic game one, where the Arizona Diamondbacks came back from down 2-0 in the first inning. I think everyone had that moment of, okay, the Texas Rangers are favored in this series. They are undefeated on the road this playoffs. They have more big money guys in their lineup. Adolis Garcia had been one of the stories of the postseason up until that point. They go up 2-0 in the first, and Zach Gallen had been struggling. The answer backs. That's what they do. They end up taking a 3-2 lead. Texas ties it on an RBI walk for Mitch Garver, a scary inning there. And then the Snakes, Tommy Pham, who's been a storyline of this postseason, and Ketel Marte, who has as well. They were up 5-3. It was a back-and-forth game into the fifth. Was this the postseason game we were looking for? Everything went kind of silent. No runs scored until the bottom of the ninth. Corey Seager gets Paul Sewald, which, credit to some internet people, when we were doing our series preview, and this is how bullpens come and go during the postseason, we didn't really consider Paul Sewald against Texas and a little bit of history there. He's been in Seattle the past couple years. They've seen him the most. A couple guys with good numbers off of him. Five-pitch walk to Leody Taveras. Corey Seager took him up top. Both teams threw their bullpen. Texas's bullpen was unbelievable, which kind of funny. We talked about that with Trev. You could say whatever you want. It ends up coming and say whatever the hell you want. It comes down to one playoff game, one game of baseball, where in one game of baseball, literally anything can happen. And then the thing that wasn't too surprising, Adolis takes Miguel Castro up top. Texas steals game one, and there was almost a feeling in the air of like, oh, man. You know, Texas Rangers, they were favored. They've got these dudes in their lineup and on their team. Was that going to be the Snakes' chance to make this a series? No. They come out and they dominate the next game. It ends up being a 9-1 final. It was closer than that for a long time. Jordan Montgomery, zero strikeouts. A little credit to the Snakes. A little bit to him probably not having his best stuff. After he had to come in that game 7 against Houston. Did that matter? Snakes went up 2-0. The only run Texas scored, Mitch Garver hits a ball down and in out of the park. Really impressive swing. And the only damage they got off of Merrill Kelly. Merrill Kelly was awesome. And then the Snakes, they stretched out the lead. It was still 2-1 going into the seventh. Snakes made it 4-1 top seven. By the end of the game, it's 9-1. And then you're sitting there at the end of game two saying, okay, so where are we at? Playoff series, everything moves quick. The Diamondbacks dominated the first two games. Game one, dominant would be a little bit of a stretch, especially after they end up losing it. But they were up 5-3 for the final four innings of the game until Paul Sewald gets got by Seager. And then they stretch out this one that I think both teams are feeling pretty good. The Arizona Diamondbacks, you have to feel like our formula is working. We're bunting. We're stealing a ton of bases again. Merrill Kelly looks like a dude. Your good bullpen was good except Paul Sewald. That's got to be your biggest fear right now. Like, if you come out game 3, 4, or 5 and Paul Sewald gets got to lose another game, I mean, that's a red flag. That's a are we changing our bullpen formula type situation if Paul Sewald gets got again. So that's one of the biggest things for the Snakes going forward and Texas if they clip him at some point. They don't have to use their good bullpen in game two. So we've got fully rested bullpens going into game three. Texas, it feels like you stole one and it's a 1-1 series and that's kind of a win, which is a little scary, but also you take care of business tonight. You're sitting pretty. You'd have a lead in the series. It's 2-1. You'd guarantee it's going back to Texas. I think that'll be the change in the feel of these games. Texas, your base goal is win one game. Let's bring it back to Texas. You do anything more than that, you're feeling fantastic. The Snakes, win a ball game today, and you're saying that we've essentially won the first three games. And you've got just a storyline that, I don't know, I guess only baseball can provide, and it's where starting pitchers need to become more of the sport, and they already have. Like, that's when we talk about shifts, and my guy Jamalama Ding Dong kind of had this best. Baseball has always found a way of adjusting, and it did not adjust to the shift at all. It's crazy. The adjustment was try to hit more home runs, which was like a double negative bad for baseball. Baseball did not adjust for the shift. And spoiler alert, we're still shifting. Like, go check out the infield when Corey Seager's up. The shortstop is basically behind second base. The third baseman is essentially where the shortstop would be. We still have tasteful shifts going on, and I think that's okay. I think that's a decent product. I still have a little deep cut in me that wants to see outfield shifts restricted a little bit. Because when there's a line drive to the warning track, and that's right where the outfielder was, I still don't think that's great for baseball. My childhood is filled with doubles, and it feels like doubles are dead. I've lost a lot of bets this postseason betting the double, because I'm like, what's better than a postseason double? Ball in the gap, ball
perfect
down the line
rally starter.
Like, yeah, and you're wondering if they're gonna get there, or is the runner gonna get to third, is the runner gonna score? Doubles are kind of dead, and I like doubles, so that's a little Jakey deep cuts, and I don't need it. Like, baseball's in a good spot, but I don't know, I kind of like limiting outfielders and getting more rangy plays. We'll deal with that another time. What I was teeing up before I got distracted by my weird double rant. Max Scherzer, the old bull, inner circle Hall of Famer. If you're making an all-time baseball starting five rotation, he's got a pretty good argument that he should be one of the five guys you list. And it's back where it started. Max Scherzer called up by these Arizona Diamondbacks 14 years ago. Do I have the numbers right on that? Let's see. Still holding. 2008. What's that? So, no. That's like 16, 17 years ago?
Yeah. Okay. Drafted by them in 2006. So, also a long time ago.
University of Missouri guy. How about that?
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Didn't have that in my
Born
book.
Born in St. Louis.
Him and Peter Fairbanks. I always bring that up. He gets called up 2008 with Arizona. Pretty good. 2004, his first full season. Pretty good. 30 starts, 170 innings, a couple more strikeouts per innings. At that time, that's impressive, especially for 24 years old. ERA is not crazy, 4.12. They traded him because they were scared that his pitching motion wasn't going to stand the test of time. They were worried about the whippiness in his neck. I guess I could see it. We're coming off a time period when I remember everyone was like, Dontrell Willis is going to break. And I was like, I don't know. How do you know that? Everyone said it with Chris Sale. He lasted longer than everyone thought, and now he's kind of breaking.
Everyone said it with Strasburg, and that one was kind of right.
Kind of right? You got a lot of mileage.
Yeah, it had the immediate stuff.
That's initial.
There's a nice mid-range there.
Scherzer a little different. I mean, he's still going. He is 39 years old. The past couple years, he's gotten banged up a little bit, although that's
kind of normal age stuff.
It's also a little rude. I mean, 145 innings with the Mets in 22, 152 innings this year, and now we're getting some playoff innings too. So, like,
handful of starts missed, and when he did start, he pitched full game. Whatever.
It's not bad. I guess we will find out tonight because Max Scherzer has looked worn out.
Yeah, he's not. He's literally like coming off an injury right now.
Yes, he's rehabbing in the playoffs. I mean, those two of those are against, you know, it's against the Houston Astros as well. So like that can be a little unfair. But he also hasn't looked great. We find out tonight against his old team in the World Series. He's essentially had two rehab starts. Hopefully the injuries are feeling better. You guys know I've made an allegiance to the Snakes at this point. Just out of a social media friendship. We're basically an online dating story. But Max Scherzer returning to Arizona, where it all started, in what could be one of his last runs. Like, I know that hasn't been talked a lot, but who knows where Mad Max is with that thought process in his career. Against Brandon Pfaadt, who, if you've been watching this postseason, you've become familiar with the kids. This is his stat line this year, his rookie season. He's 24 years old. 96 innings pitched to the tune of a 5.72 ERA, a 76 ERA plus. This guy is a legitimate prospect coming into this season. Baseball America had him as 27th. Baseball Prospectus had him as 83. So you're looking at a top 100, which I'll tell you what, 27 to 83 is a big range. 27th prospect, that's a guy you kind of circle, like, we need you.
That's one of your organization's top two.
We need you. You know, if each org got one player, in theory he would be one. Not how it works. 83 is more of a, hey, you know, you got talent. Let's find out. Those guys don't always work. Sometimes they do work. Six sport.
We're betting on you being a major leaguer, but... You know,
fourth starter, or, you know, high end reliever for prospect 83 sometimes becomes the hope. And with his rookie season, wasn't a ton of optimism. And he has now just turned into something completely different. His final 2023 game log, he finished with a start against the Chicago White Sox that was 5.2 shutout. Maybe that means something. He got knocked around by the lowly Yankees. His second-to-last start, 4.1, 5 earned runs. A Yankees team that wasn't doing anything this year. Pfaadt, he gets the Game 1 start in their wild card series against Milwaukee. 2.2 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. And you're like, okay. The Snakes were listed as having two starting pitchers going into the postseason, which doesn't seem like the best formula. And that would be Gallen and Kelly.
Which, hey, as good a top two as anybody had, but...
Why not? They literally do not have a fourth starting pitcher at this point. So, they go on to face the Los Angeles Dodgers, the team that had their number because the... because Milwaukee series only went two games, they were able to have their other two pitchers lined up for games one and two of that series. Brandon Faught comes out for game three, where a potential sweep is on the line, which nobody had that. 4.1, two hits, no walks, only two strikeouts. I want to note that against the Dodgers. They close it out. They sweep them. October 11th, my birthday. A little bit of a confidence builder. 42 pitches in 4.1 innings. You know, it's one of those playoffs. You got guys swinging early in the count. We've seen a lot of that this postseason. Guys not wanting to get struck out and trying to get a pitch early on to hit. Okay, so now it's getting real. Because that was 2-0. Like, Snakes looked like the better team against the Dodgers, which kind of surprised everyone a little bit. They head into Philly. Philly's got this fear factor going on. It's game three. Philadelphia's up 2-0. We're heading back to Arizona. Harper looks sharp. Schwarber looks sharp. Castellanos looks like a monster. Trey Turner looks like a beast. Real Muto, I think he threw a couple around. The Phillies were Phillying. Brandon Faught went 5.2, two hits, zero walks, nine Ks, setting D-backs postseason records with Randy Johnson, setting MLB postseason records with Randy Johnson. Insane. 70 pitch. That's a real postseason start. He comes out game seven against Philly, so we've got game seven rules going on here. Four innings, two earned runs. He did give up one homer, but also seven strikeouts. So our guy was being dominant again. You can't predict baseball. You cannot predict the postseason even more. In a game three, that's always a tone-setting game. But if Arizona wins, it's funny. Sometimes my sweet Jessica will ask a question That'll punch me in the face a little bit, sports-wise, because it's a completely different perspective. As I explained to her that I'd be going to Game 5 of the World Series and am going to be lifeguarding a pool, which that was puzzling for her to get over.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people in this office that's been puzzling for. That one she has a pass.
Her first question she asked to that, okay, so this will show a whole scope of emotions. I told her, hey, I'm going to be going to game five. It's going to be a crazy day. Fly in, fly out that day. They have a pool. I'm going to be lifeguarding. She initially heard this, parts of this, during the live stream. Live streaming tonight. Her first question, kind of a fair wife first question. She's like, is it going to be all hot chicks? I don't know. Pool, Arizona.
I don't know who got the suite that night.
I said probably not. Probably going to be a lot of guys probably drinking like beers.
Older people.
We'll see. Not ruling probably. It out, but I was
I heard a rumor whoever has it is excited for you.
Yeah, which probably not hot chicks. So that was a fair question. And then my Jessica dropped a sporty question that I think we could have done a full episode on if we wanted to.
Maybe we will.
Who is the favorite in the World Series? I'll open up the DraftKings Sportsbook, and I'll get the odds right now because I don't know. And I'm going to order my lunch. Whoops. I'm going to start picking it up, save myself a couple dollars, get a couple steps outside. Right when the season changes.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
This time of year, it's nice. We are here late, so it's nice to have a reason to step out. I should do it more.
Soon it's going to stink. But DraftKings, where, by the way, you could go to DraftKings, bet just $5 on baseball, and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets. And you got a couple more games to bet, so you might as well do it. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BAKERS. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on baseball only on the DraftKings Sportsbook with code BAKERS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text Hope NY in Connecticut. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, 21 plus, ages vary by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. See dkng.co/baseball for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Jess asked me who the favorite is to win the World Series. I don't know. I am guessing that Las Vegas, like, they still have sports gambling. I would guess sports gambling still has Texas as the slight favorite.
It's probably, yeah, I would guess it's roughly even.
They right do, now. But it's DraftKings currently has the Rangers -135, the Diamondbacks 115. And that's for every reason I just listed. Texas still has the big tickets guys, big tickets guys.
A lot of guys who have played a lot of playoff games, not with the Rangers.
Corey Seager's a World Series MVP. He won game one with a game-tying homer. Adolis is one swing away from being the most fearful guy in it. The Rangers have a couple more dudes in their lineup. They would have 6-7 at home. That has to get factored into all of this, right? They're currently undefeated on the road in the playoffs, so going to Arizona for three probably doesn't faze them too much. Arizona has been the better team through the first two games. They were the better team against the Dodgers. Were they the better team against the Phillies? I think by the end, I mean, that's why you play seven, right? They answered back every time they got bullied. Each team has an argument there, and I don't know. I thought it was funny that Jess put me in a pretzel for a second, because if Fott comes out and looks anything like the guy he has the last three games, if Max Scherzer comes out and he looks anything like he has the last three games, the Diamondbacks should be the favorites to win the World Series the rest of the way. And we'll find out an important Game 3, because if Texas also wins tonight, they very much become the favorite, and that's the beauty of baseball. So we've got the young bull versus the old calf. Young bull's been looking good. The old calf's been looking tough. But that can change with one swing or one moment. So excited to find out with you guys tonight. My only wish is that Texas doesn't win the next three games, because, again, I'll be in Arizona for the pool and would really love to not see them get eliminated while being the lifeguard. That'd be bad juju for me. And excited to watch tonight. We'll be live streaming. We'll see you there tonight and tomorrow and Wednesday too. I just won't be a part of Wednesdays. So, come join us. We got quite the NFL weekend this weekend. Kudos to the NFL, as I've been trying to point out a couple 2-3 games to point out to you. Also, college basketball update. Cooper Flagg commits to Duke.
Nice.
It's between them and UConn. I was excited to get excited about him. Now I have to hate him forever.
How do you like that?
And he's decided he wants that. So good for him. Knock yourself out, kid. See you soon. In the National Football League, we had an awesome weekend. Don't really need to go back to Bucks-Bills. That happened. Bills ended up winning Thursday Night Football. Ugly-ish.
Josh Allen, big stat game.
Josh Allen with a nice stat game. Bucks with a nice cover at the end if you're into that kind of thing. From around the NFL a little bit, just I think there's a lot of boxes that need to be checked. How about them Cowboys? Dominant win over the Rams. Remember, I was starting to drink a little Rams Kool-Aid. I'm starting to not. Cowboys put a whooping on them. They put up 33 in the first half. CeeDee Lamb looked dominant and nasty. He's a guy that wrecked a lot of fantasy boards this week. We had a lot of guys wrecking fantasy boards this weekend, and in a real fun way. We'll get to that. Rams 3-5 now. Seahawks are looking good. Niners are good. Rams are in a tight spot. The rest of that roster still doesn't seem to have the juice, even though Kupp and Nacua is kind of fun. Stafford's getting banged up every week, it seems like. I wonder if he's a guy that could find himself on the trade block, although that would be the next 24 hours or so, so I don't think that's happening.
Deadline's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, yeah. But there's some interesting QB stuff. It'll be funny to see how much the NFL gets in the great game. Speaking of interesting QB stuff, the Vikings back to 4-4. They beat the Packers in Lambeau. Jordan Love, you. God, I know there's some fun Packers QB stuff through the years and passing the baton. Maybe there's a second half of this season where Jordan Love will impress me, but so far, you. And I will say this. I want to backpedal a little bit and be soft. I was doing some earlier in the year hard conclusions, I guess trying a little bit to be that guy, and that's what we try to do with sports, so I won't apologize. Maybe Jordan Love finishes strong and something clicks and he figures it out. Because we have seen a lot of teams change their narrative the past couple weeks. The Vikings were one of those teams. The only problem that makes it unfortunate, Kirk Cousins, who'd been playing well, tears his Achilles. He will be out. Will they make a move? There's Colt McCoy rumors, because there's obviously Colt McCoy rumors. We'll see if any other quarterbacks really get in the game trade-wise. Their backup quarterback is a dude from BYU who wasn't in my book, which is tough because my book's usually pretty good. Like, you know, normally there's like,
quarterbacks,
oh, that one game. Jaren Hall. I guess Hall, BYU, I can kind of see it, but fifth-round pick, 6 feet tall, listed.
Maybe they do want to call Carson Wentz.
I mean, I think he was, because he's the gap guy between Wilson. I don't know. Minnesota Vikings are going to have an interesting decision to make. I think there's some Colt McCoy connections, so people are leaning that. But, yeah, let's see if any of the NFL trade stuff can actually get jiggy with it. They beat the Packers. Packers offense. Golly. Here's a fun one with a QB twist. The Tennessee Titans. New man on the Tennessee Titans. That's literally the last team we talked about. They beat the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons, who make the QB change at halftime. So we got a lot of QB action. Heinicke comes in after halftime. Falcons end up putting up more points. You wonder if they played the whole game. But Will Levis, one of the QBs in this year's draft, the QB that slipped, if it was a Harry Potter title, Will Levis comes in, 238, four touchdowns, three of them to DeAndre Hopkins. There's a little fantasy buster for him, although a lot of people may have slid him to the bench this weekend.
You know, sometimes your friend Zach and yourself start a guy every week he's played, and finally enough was enough, and you start Kendrick Bourne over him, and he had a fine day overall, but now he's done. And D-Hop's on the bench.
It's the beauty of sports. It's why I say it's the best reality television show. DeAndre Hopkins, who everyone had as the fading veteran, it's, you know, it's going to be weird seeing him in a Titans/Oilers uniform this weekend. Three touchdown day, 128 yards. He put up a big day for one of my fantasy teams and another team on the bench, because I still like me some D-Hop. Throw it to him. He's huge. Will Levis did that. And what I like, Will Levis in the QB formula machine, and this is why I liked him, and I could dig up some receipts on this, and I'm not going to dig them up over 1 week of football against the Falcons, but when you do the NFL QB scheme, I've run everyone through this. Not a lot of QBs go to the big boy schools. Will Levis went to Kentucky. Although they've had a solid couple of years, it's Kentucky. They've never been that football program.
Not a powerhouse.
He's got the work ethic. Remember team's biggest fears on him was he was too muscly and he likes working too much? Okay, I can kind of work with that. He's also supposedly, he's a weird guy. There's the Mayo thing that came up. Scott Hansen was all over it on Red Zone. He's a football fan. He apparently told Scott Hansen years ago, he's like, dude, I love Red Zone. So this guy's a football guy in his heart of hearts with a work ethic who put up big numbers at a not football school. I can buy into all of that. So I was kind of in on Will Levis when he was slipping down the boards, not busting out receipts right now. The other thing that I like, I think Tennessee has a good football coach in Mike Vrabel. And when they were clicking with Ryan Tannehill, that a lot of people were done with after Miami, I don't know enough about football, but from what I can tell, a lot of stuff is set up on big play action plays because their offense runs through Derrick Henry. So if you can make the throw in the Tennessee Titans offense, you're going to be set up to have a couple plays where if you make the throw, you're going to have a nice day at the office. And that's kind of what happened with Will Levis. Big play actions, throwing deep to Hopkins, who's one of the all-time deep threat receivers, or one of the all-time give-him-a-chance receivers. He gave him a chance, and they had a big day at the office. Henry runs for 101, and the Tennessee Titans, they're sitting at 3-4. Quick schedule look at Steelers. That should be ugly. At Bucks, interested. At Jaguars, kind of tough. Panthers, Colts. You can find the wins on the schedule to get yourself involved if you're the Tennessee Titans, who have a pretty decent track record of being involved. I'll drink a little Titans Kool-Aid. Yeah. But it's also, it's so messed up fantasy-wise. Like, you know, they had Malik Wills come out for a couple plays. Will Levis is going to get some runs. Like, this was an all-time do not play DeAndre Hopkins. Puts a massive number up.
Hilarious.
Sports.
I think they're heading towards meaningful December football.
3-1 at home for the Titans. Good for them. Saints, Colts, no thank you, really, although you got some big fantasy days. Rashid Shaheed becoming one of my favorite players in football. Just throw it deep to 22, and he might get it. Saints get the win on the road. They're 4-4. They're going to lurk all year. Patriots, Dolphins. Dolphins end up dolphining. Although Pats went up pretty much Dolphins the rest of the way. 31-10 the rest of the way. Tua, 3 touchdowns, 324. Waddle, yep. Mostert, yep. Tyreek, yep. You know, their formula works out. They are 6-2 and still feeling good about what the Dolphins are. Here's an all-timer. One that'll be tough to forget. The Jets and the Giants teed it up in the Meadowlands. They do this every 4 years in the regular season. And man, what a time to be alive. Zach Wilson looks pretty rough for 4 quarters of football. Tyrod Taylor gets hurt in this game. 4 for 7, 8 yards. He comes out. Here comes Tommy DeVito, a guy that, again, we work with the Talking Giants guys, Bobby and Penick. See a lot of Penick. I follow NFL football pretty close. I still get my college football fix in, but I'm not who I used to be college football-wise. I used to be able to name, like, you know, every starting quarterback and what offense they're running and which coach had just gotten there and all that stuff. I'm not that guy anymore. Although I did see Tommy DeVito play at Syracuse, and I didn't hate it. I saw a couple nice moments from him. He's a guy that's been around the Giants for a couple weeks in the mix.
They pretty immediately undrafted free agent, signed him, or in training camp, been on the practice
squad. He's been around the Giants.
On the scale of undrafted quarterbacks, the talk's been fairly positive.
So there's a lot to talk about in this game. They treated him. I watched the Broncos play a game where they literally didn't have a QB on their roster, if you remember that. COVID times, they had a wide receiver play quarterback for a game. One of the toughest things I've had to watch as a Broncos fan, who I'll get to them in a little bit. Saquon, 36 carries, 128. Breece Hall had one nice catch and run. That was kind of it, though. Ipso facto, the New York Giants, they have a 3-point lead. They're about to run the clock down to about 30 seconds. 4th and 1. Do you run for it? Get that 1 yard. End the game if you get it. If not, the Jets would still have to march down the field with about 30 seconds left. Kick the field goal. Graham Gano, a guy who was your guy last year. Like, it felt like he was one of the biggest offensive contributors to the Giants last year, an automatic. Do you kick it with Gano? What do you do? But Gano hasn't been that guy this year a little bit. They kick it with Gano. He misses the field goal. 28 seconds. The Giants' defense had been unreal. Some of the numbers that the Talking Giants guys were cranking out. Some of the third down numbers from this game. Just what they'd been doing to opponents. Okay, and you're still against, you know, the Jets, Zach Wilson. Two chunk plays. One of them where the clock stops running because Kayvon Thibodeau, who people had assumed ended the game with his sack on the previous drive, gets offsides. So after the play, clock stops running. Okay, they get up the field, make a second play. I mean, it's a short field goal. Spike it with 1 second left.
Can't believe they got that off.
Yeah, you wonder, clock operator. Could have been different. Zuerlein, Legatron, bangs what ends up being two important field goals for the Jets because they go to overtime. The vibes at MetLife, unreal. Part of me wishes I was there. Part of me so happy I'm not because there was a lot of rain in this game. But you've got two fan bases. Everyone got their tweet off on the Jets, which I had unbelievable. Roberts from WFAN. I was a little shocked just because it's like, hey, I've seen ugly football before. With how bad the Giants have also looked, like, I don't know.
I was saying the whole game that this thing feels destined for overtime. I don't know. I didn't know how it was going to happen, and the last minute I didn't think it was
right.
Gonna,
it did feel like it crossed that point, but, I mean, the needle was never on empty. Like, even kicking the field goal, they were like, doesn't this feel like a field goal that could just be blocked, and that's how this, like, Giant... Jets end up winning. Giants accept the ball, which I was almost like, maybe you should defer.
If there's ever a time, that a team was going to win the coin toss in overtime and defer.
Kind of felt like they should.
Time, but.
And man, I'll tell you what, man. I don't know if I've ever done a 360 quicker on a coach than Daboll. The Daniel Jones throwing him under the bus. And then this game where, like, again, this is how fragile sports are. If the Giants had won this game and they're 3-5 and they won a game without Tommy DeVito and they're playing the Raiders next week and Danny Dimes is coming back. Like, you know, there's some regrets over the Bills game, obviously, but there's a lot of stuff you could be like, all right.
We can have a season.
The Giants are fighting. They are now 2-6. I think Daboll between... I know Gano's got to make that kick, but does he? It's like Jets, Giants, ugly rainy day, ugly game.
Supposedly playing through an injury, and that's... I don't know.
And then the overtime play calls with DeVito running the offense was some of the saddest stuff I've ever seen. They were treating Tommy DeVito like it was me. Like if I got thrown into a Jets-Giants game in overtime, they were treating Tommy DeVito like it was honestly me. Like, hey, man, swing pass, just throw it to the running back. Don't think about anything else. Twice, back to back. And then they tried to throw a screen pass, which if you're the Jets defense, you're just licking your chops. Honestly, they were lucky that wasn't intercepted. And that ends up being a reflection on Daboll, man. Like, DeVito's been around the team. You should be able to fire up a slant. Or anything. Like, McVay, remember when Baker Mayfield went over to the Rams with McVay? I realize Baker Mayfield and Tommy DeVito are in different ethoses. But you've had your paws on this guy for a little bit now that, I don't know, this Giants season has obviously come off the rails. You know, I've come off the week where I told you guys Russillo, who's toughest on New York sports and exhibit A right here, and he should be. You know, Danny Dimes comparing him to Brock Purdy, which that's become a lot more interesting. The Purdy show. We got to get to that in a minute. This ends up being an awful reflection on Daboll. And the past couple weeks, in general, kind of have. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on, but... And on the other side, the 4-3 New York Jets. Sure. Sure. I mean, how much would... If they beat the Patriots, who the Patriots stink, it was at home, and the Patriots just have their number, we'd be talking about the 5-2 Jets. They're 4-3. Chargers, Raiders, Bills coming up. Dolphins. You'd love to get 2-2 there. That feels a lot more like 1-3. But then you got Falcons, Texans. The Jets are going to hang around. And will that Rodgers guy show his head? If I had the NFL script, I would bet yes. I would bet yes. There are two teams ahead of them in the East, Miami and Buffalo. That's tough. But the Jets are 4-3. A lot of teams would kill for that right now. One of the ugliest games in NFL history. A black eye on New York sports in general. I had people, my Oklahoma friends texted me, what is wrong with New York sports? I don't know. But it stinks. It stinks. God. Also around the league, Jaguars. They beat the Steelers at home. Maybe that doesn't surprise you, but again, the Jags have been in this weird influx. Who are they? They handled their business. It wasn't pretty. It's 2010. Steelers, Pickett gets knocked out. So there's that as well. But the Jaguars handled their business on the road to become 6-2, which look around the league, 6-2. Good on them. They're winning me over a little bit, even though they still ever. I guess here's my thing. Every team in the NFL is going to have one, oh my God, what happened week. And I hadn't processed that within the first 4 weeks of the season. Their loss to the Texans at home, 37-17. The Texans were on the ups. Like, Stroud has looked good. Jags got punched in the mouth a little bit. They didn't expect to lose that game. I guess every NFL team is going to have one or even two games that you're like, what the hell happened? And I need to process that more going forward. And I think the Jags have earned that a little bit from me. Eagles, Commanders. Eagles get to 7-1. It's the best record in football. It's probably closer than you would have thought. It became a little bit of a shootout. Commanders, sneaky, just kept getting points late, which was kind of bizarre, but whatever. I think the Eagles had the game in tow. A.J. Brown is breaking wide receiver records. He has another freak show catch. Just unreal what he's doing. Commanders 3-5, Eagles 7-1. Not a ton there. Panthers and Bryce Young get their first win, 15-13 over the Texans. So you got the two kid quarterbacks there. Again, kind of an ugly game. The end of the game was hideous. A Texans player kept jumping off sides to try to block the final kick to win the game, basically with no repercussions. He ended up getting unsportsmanlike conduct because he did it back-to-back times. Just an ugly watch if you're an NFL fan. The Seattle Seahawks, they put together a drive to win the game against the Cleveland Browns. 24-20, Dalton predicted it right, the exact score. Seahawks jumped up early. Browns took the lead, looked like they were going to get a win. And now those Seattle Seahawks, who I told you I kind of liked, and it was very eye-opening against the Giants. Geno's good. Like, Geno Smith is good. That's fully processed. We're there. They have a lot of talent at the skill position. Kenneth Walker is really good. I like Charbonnet, their backup running back. And then they've got Lockett. They've got DK Metcalf, who's his own freak show at wideout. And they drafted JSN. They've got three really good options at wideout. Their offense is real. And their secondary is real. Witherspoon, the kid they drafted, he's a monster. Remember when they traded all their assets for Jamal Adams? He made what ended up being a difference-making play in this game. Like, the Seahawks, Pete Carroll has a recipe. They have skilled players on offense. They've got a secondary. Like, they got something brewing. And they are in first place in the NFC West. They jumped the Niners, who lost again. Seahawks have something going on. Brownies, tough one. Again, no Deshaun in this game. They're going to need him back being something, because otherwise they win this game. I think if they have Deshaun. But he's got a weird injury thing going on right now. Says he can't drive the ball. Ravens, Cardinals, let me check this box quick. They beat him. Cardinals were doing their pesky Cardinal thing, and there was some weird scoring late in this one. But the Ravens are 6-2. Think about that. Very impressive record. They're joining the upper echelon of teams again. Gus Bus, 3 touchdowns. Wrecking fantasy leagues around the world. What's more important here? Oh, okay. Chargers beat the Bears. Don't care. Bears are bad. I was hoping Bajent fever was going to sweep the nation. We're not there yet. Let's do my Denver Broncos. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They end the 16-game losing streak against the Chiefs. Whoa. Scary number. And they... It's kind of a dominant win. We've got a little bit of Mahomes flu game stuff going on here. Who knows what that's about? The Broncos have actually played Mahomes pretty well. If you remember, I think there was a Monday night game a year or two back where Kansas City ends up winning because Mahomes throws one left-handed to get the big first down in that game. Otherwise, that could have been it. Good on my Broncos, man. You know they've lost me. They've won the past 2 weeks now. Packers and Chiefs, both at home. They're playing in Buffalo coming up. I wouldn't be shocked if they make that closer than the expectations are. God, would really love to have that Raiders game week one and be 4-4. Here's what I'll say. My Broncos fandom has been a weird thing. They keep continuing to lose me when I'm hoping they're going to hook me back in. They bring in Russell Wilson. They look like dog shit. They bring in Sean Payton. Onside kick. 0-3, 1-5, feels bad. They have me on the line a little bit again. Maybe Sean Payton can still be that guy. Maybe it took him a couple weeks to adjust. Maybe it took the Broncos a couple weeks to adjust. Are they going to trade away players at the deadline? I'm interested to see that. Their wide receivers seem juicy to a couple teams. Bills, Vikes, Browns, Texans, could they go 2-2 through there? Can they be a serviceable football team? I'm open to it. Sean Payton... give me hope again. Chiefs, you put it down as Mahomes flew. You put it down as Mile High. You put it down as Sky Moore can't catch. That's tough. Mahomes put it right in the breadbasket. Ends up ending my perfect streak against the spread. Snaps for me. Glad my Broncos did it.
If there's a way to lose the streak, you know?
Hey, why not? And then I think the biggest one, I'll give myself a couple pats on the back, but I didn't see the other side of it. Bengals, they take down the 49ers, 31-17 in San Francisco. Bengals, off a bye week, boom. Bengals, not early in the season, boom. The Bengals side of this does not surprise me at all. I think the Bengals are about to go, go, go. They do have a couple tough games coming up, Bills, Ravens. I think the Bills and the Ravens are saying they got a tough game coming up with the Bengals. This is the team that's been there the past couple years. They are 4-3. They start off slow. They start clicking. Joe Mixon's really underrated, the way he just gets yards every play. The Bengals are clicking. Now, the bigger thing on the other side of it, the Niners have some injuries going on. No Debo. And more importantly than Debo, who, God, you know, if you've been listening to the Wake and Jake ride, I'm just infatuated by that man. Trent Williams is out for the 49ers. Widely regarded as the best left tackle in football. Widely regarded as one of the best players in football. He shut down Micah Parsons. Like, nobody thought that was street legal, or even possible. Trent Williams is out, and you know a lot of times we get away from line play because we want to talk about McCaffrey, who he's a sicko. The Niners have a lot of guys that can put forward, like, I'm the best player on the team. Fred Warner, we got a Bosa, you got McCaffrey, Kittle. Trent Williams is probably the best player on that team. He is out. And they lose. The San Francisco 49ers, they are now 5-3. Seattle's ahead of them in the standings, technically and literally. And they got to figure it out. They're going at the Jaguars next week. Versus the Bucks at Seattle, at the Eagles. And Brock Purdy is making mistakes. He got a concussion last week. There was some, I don't want to say jokes made about it, but when they lost to the Vikings, you know, he had a concussion. And I guess he was still out there playing, which, what's going on, NFL? He threw an awful pick to end that game that was kind of like a what is you doing, baby, pick. Is that concussion stuff? Is that just one throw? I don't know. He gets cleared at the end of this week. He's making some mistakes, man. He's turning the ball over. I've got Sales Steve in our office telling me it's about Darnold season for the Niners. I don't believe in that. But you lost three in a row. Cleveland, the Vikings, and the Bengals. What is next as they play the Jaguars next week? I don't know, but that story developing in the NFL. So, I kind of stopped doing these entire weekend recaps for the NFL because, you know, that's kind of, sometimes that's not good content. Get a little rambly. Almost every game had to be talked about. Did you really need to talk Bills Bucks? No. Cowboys, I think so. That was a dominant performance. Vikings, they lose Kirk Cousins. I think that has to be mentioned. Titans and Will Levis, absolutely. Saints Seahawks, kind of skippable, and I kind of did. Dolphins, I guess that could have been skipped a little more because I'm not shocked by anything. But Jets Giants, no way. All-timer. A historic game. Jag Steelers, maybe. Eagles Commanders, maybe. Texans Panthers, maybe. Seahawks Browns, I don't think so. Broncos Chiefs, I don't think so. Ravens Cards, I kind of did. Although the Ravens may be one of the best teams in football again. Bengals Niners, no way. And unfortunately, Bajent didn't let me talk about the night game more. So, pretty electric NFL Sunday. We get a little Lions-Raiders tonight. I'm going to need one touchdown pass from Jared Goff for selfish reasons. If I don't, you may see a sad puppy on Wednesday. And that's the beauty of fantasy football in this country. Speaking of beautiful, BBD, Trevor Plouffe last episode. Make sure you thank him. That was a fun one. And on, I guess, probably not Wednesday.
Thursday? Dude, if the trade deadline gets juicy tomorrow? Last year I would
guess we record something tomorrow and release it for Wednesday. Otherwise, maybe a wonky Thursday recap of my travels and wherever the World Series is at. I kind of like that. Yeah. Maybe from the warehouse. We will see. So, sorry about that. We'll try to let you know. Starting to lean Thursday. That sounds saucy. But maybe Tuesday. Maybe it's a 10-episode week. What? That doesn't exist. DM Joe's a picture of yourself. Thanks, everybody.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.